peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, 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 friends. Hello, fall. We have a new season. Welcome to the autumn edition of Good Things Radio. This is my husband and my oldest son's very favorite time of year in the Midwest, because I know depending on what part of the country you're listening from, it might not feel like the seasons are changing. But I love visually here in the Midwest. You see it, you feel it. The sky looks a little bit different. You get the full corn moon and the chill in the air. And then everybody, of course, wherever you are, usually breaks out your boots and your Yankee candle and all the pumpkin themed goodies. And I can freely once again wear my Oscar the Grouch fleece sweatpants and be nice and comfortable. It's just great. And about fall, the season of autumn, the writer, author Nathaniel Hawthorne said, "I cannot endure to waste anything as precious as autumn sunshine by staying in the house. So I spend almost all the daylight hours in the open air." And of course, Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote The Scarlet Letter, probably most famously known for that. But a little tidbit, he actually has a daughter, had a daughter, his second daughter named Rose. She converted to the Roman Catholic faith. He was a Protestant. She had been married. Her only child died. Her marriage dissolved. She then became a nun, took the name of Mary Alfonsa, was a nurse. She founded one of the first homes in the nation to care for cancer patients. And the story behind that is amazing. I could probably spend an entire show just on her biography. She befriended a dear, good best friend who had cancer. And at that time, people thought it was like leprosy. It was contagious. So you were cast out. And she and her sisters wanted to love the least of these, those who were suffering with cancer. And so she did amazing things. And she is now a servant of God. She was declared a servant of God by the church. And just so you know how that works in the saint process, I guess, is that that's the first step, to be declared a servant of God. And that opens the case of sainthood. And then after that, it moves to venerable. And then that is a decree of heroism or martyrdom. And then it's followed by beatification. So before we said Saint Mother Teresa, we called her Blessed Mother Teresa. And that means she was in the beatification process. She was blessed. And it's the last step before sainthood. And you can only receive sainthood here on earth after the confirmation of miracles resulting from the intercession of the honored. And then again, that's the final step, canonization. And that's where the honored person would receive the title of saint. So there you go. And you're nodding and listening, but our listeners don't know that you're here, Mom. So say hello. I haven't introduced you yet.
Hi, everyone. It's a great pleasure and honor to be back at the microphone.
Welcome, welcome. And what's your favorite thing about fall?
Favorite things, apple crunch, that warm apple crunch.
Apple crunch or apple crisp?
It's the same.
Okay.
It's the same. It's just another
tomato,
name.
Tomato.
Yes. And the second thing is the fresh cider and donuts, or as Carolina would say, donut.
Yes, she emphasizes very much because she has passion behind the word donut.
Yes,
that's my girl. You know, the other thing that I cannot ever change into fall, the calendar flip and just mentally, without thinking of our girl, the love that we share, and that is Dolly Parton, Coat of Many Colors.
I didn't have a coat and it was way down in the fall.
She says it there, it was way down in the fall. So for some reason, I always think of Dolly Parton, Coat of Many Colors. And then I cry and I think about the lyrics, because she says she blessed it with a kiss. And, you know, that's such a motherly thing, how moms can do that. They bless a boo-boo with a kiss.
Right.
You know, they bless, if in this case, she's making a coat of many colors. And then she said, although we had no money, I was rich as I could be in my coat of many colors that mama made for me. And I love it because it's not just a song, it's a psalm. I mean, she is praising God for her family, for her mom, and the story, the heritage of faith.
Right.
Because in the song, Mama tells about the coat of Joseph of many colors, and then the lesson learned as she's made fun of. But it makes me think of the gift of faith passed from one generation to another, simple things in life. And why did I never learn to sew? I always go back.
You were pretending to be Connie Chung and Sally Jesse Raphael. You were busy.
It served me well, but now I can't make my own children a coat of many colors. But it's okay. Maybe in heaven. We don't have to worry about it. Also, on another note about fall, the 26th of September is actually the birthday of Johnny Appleseed in 1774. And depending on when you listen to this, it will either be his birthday, past his birthday. But take a listen to this song. Do you remember this?
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord. For giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, he's been good to me.
That's from Disney Classics. And if you listen to the entire song, there again, it's a hymn, actually. Mm-hmm. And I have to wonder that if Disney were to make this song today, would they have written it the same way?
Probably not.
You have to wonder. But I love it. Yes. So that's a classic. So happy birthday, Johnny Appleseed. 1774, this American folk hero turned a hobby into a vocation. He planted apple trees across America and was a zealous preacher of scripture. He was even revered by Native Americans who looked up to him as a medicine man. Besides his planting, his practice was to tear out a page from the Bible he carried along on his travels, a page containing a passage which fit the situation of the family with whom he spent the night. He would leave the page with the family for their reflection. What page of scripture do you think you need to reflect upon today?
I didn't know that part of his story.
I'm not surprised, because depending on where you hear his story from, that might just be conveniently omitted. But I love that. And I just think of him as he's wearing a pot on his head. And he's obviously much deeper than that. So it's nice to hear that. Okay, so on the program today, welcome back, Joan, to the show. We don't have a catchy name for you. I feel like we need to have like Holy Roller Grandma or Gorgeous Great Graham or something. I don't know. Do you have any? We'll have to keep working on that.
Okay.
Maybe that can be a contest.
Okay.
So Joan is back on the program, hanging out today. Coming up on the show, we have a 3-ingredient, super simple, delicious fall recipe. Also, as promised, we're going to touch on the personality assessment topic and what I recently discovered about that has me thinking twice about that psychology. So we'll mention that. We're preparing for an upcoming election, so it would be very easy to succumb to worry because we don't know what's going to happen, but you have an answer to that.
The answer is prayer.
And as St. Padre Pio would say, pray, hope, and don't worry.
Yes.
And you're going to tell us about the Patriotic Rosary?
Yes.
How many years have you done this?
I don't know for sure. I could go back and look at the very first article that was written about it. So I'm guessing maybe 10 years, but it started just as a way to honor Veterans Day. And what happened the first time after we had prayed it was that the people in the pews said, we need to do this every week. It wasn't planned. It was just a spontaneous decision. The need was and is great, and we have continued to do it every week. Sometimes there could be just maybe 7 or 8. Sometimes there could be 20, but we just feel we must. It is the least and the best that we can do.
And so there it was, born and 10 years later every week, basically.
Yes.
Faithfully. Okay, well, you'll tell us about it, how it works, why it's so important to you. We'll get to that also. And a quick note about the Arise Retreat and the Holy Land Pilgrimage. So it's going to be a full show. Do you want to begin in prayer as we kick off?
Yes. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, Creator God, we thank you as we realize and take in from the simplest changes that we detect, from the coolness of the mornings and the evenings, a little bit different direction of the sun, and as Brooke said, the full corn moon or the harvest moon, as we have in September and October, that it is just a beautiful and awe-inspiring or remembering of the vastness and the beauty and the complicated part that we can't even fathom. But Lord, in that, you remind us and tell us of your love for us, each one personally. And we thank you. We thank you for this time. Help us to breathe deeply, to really take in, and with that, it just leads to praise. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I want to get into the personality assessment topic right here because we didn't have time to cover it in the last program. So I'm just going to briefly touch on it in the last show, kind of introducing the idea of the temperament God gave you, the temperament God gave your spouse, the temperament God gave your kids. And a book that was given to me by a girlfriend, knowing that communication, although is a strength of mine in a professional realm, is not necessarily translated into my marriage or with my children. So the wisdom that comes from just being able to listen and study and these sort of temperament tests and the benefits that can come with it. But I researched it and I found something that was really surprising. I wanted to just throw it out there to just digest and get your feedback on it because I don't know. I'm just reading this for the first time and wanted to share what I discovered. It's by Jeanette Bankovic. You know her from Women of Grace, just a wonderful, faithful woman. And this is what she had to say about that. It was a question that came into her website and it says this. It says, this is from a listener who wrote in. She said, I was wondering what the difference was between Enneagrams, which I know are bad, she says, and other personality tests versus temperament tests. I often see books like The Temperament God Gave You in Orthodox catalogs such as Ignatius Press, Leaflet Missile Company. Do these not both still focus on the self rather than God? Or is the temperament test designed to help one focus on their weaknesses in terms of attachment to sin and how to overcome them? So the title of the article says, beware of all personality and temperament assessment tests. And the answer is this. In a nutshell, again, reiterated, beware of all these types of tests. I say this for practical reasons. This multi-million-dollar industry is largely unregulated, with many of these tests being administered by poorly trained and sometimes completely unqualified personnel. An excellent book on the subject was written in 2004 by Annie Murphy Paul entitled The Cult of Personality, How Personality Tests Are Leading Us to Miseducate Our Children, Mismanage Our Companies, and Misunderstand Ourselves. Paul is a journalist whose expertise was in covering mental health and psychology for several mainstream publications. Writing for a general audience, she documents the sometimes dubious history of the most widely known tests, from the Rorschach inkblot to the Myers-Briggs test indicator. And she goes on to share the history and how really there's not much behind it, but sometimes these things get so widely adopted, they take off and everybody just thinks, well, they're using it, so I'm going to use it and it's fine and it's accurate. And I have to admit, in taking some of these before, you think, wow, they nailed it, they got it. But that's not necessarily something that you should use to direct how you behave or how you interpret someone else's behavior. She goes on to say, Myers-Briggs, for instance, was created in 1940s by a Pennsylvania housewife who thought it could bring about world peace. She said, I'm not making this up. The test is administered by 89 of Fortune 100 companies today, even though as many as 3/4 of test takers achieve a different personality type when tested again. Perhaps this is because the 16 so-called types described by Myers-Briggs have zero scientific basis. Scott E. Provost, who reviewed the book for psychiatric services, said Paul's finding should sound an alarm for anyone who administers or takes personality tests. And then she goes on to talk about the Christian assessment tests. And she said, mankind has long flirted with the idea of the four humors or temperaments, sanguine, choleric, phlegmatic, and melancholic, which are connected with astrology. I didn't know that. She said, while this might make for interesting reading, we must be careful not to let this information be used for spiritual direction, as the pontifical document, Jesus Christ, the Bearer of the Water of Life, warns about the Enneagram, when used as a means of spiritual growth, introduces an ambiguity in the doctrine of the life of the Christian faith. I suppose it's kind of like horoscopes. You know, when I was growing up, I actually didn't know that I shouldn't read my horoscope. And now I stay far away. Yes, they're, you know, useless, baseless, dangerous, actually, because they can lead you into a new age, all sorts of open doors. And the Enneagram, I didn't actually know what that was. She said Enneagram was developed by several occultists. So she goes on to talk about it. But I just wanted to offer that because the bottom line is, she says, a personal relationship with Christ is always the best way to pursue the kind of self-knowledge that you will get in heaven. That, coupled with 30 minutes a day of mental prayer, is the best way to discover one's weaknesses and attachments to sin, and to have wisdom to interpret others that you're dealing with as well. So I don't really have any enormous takeaways because I'm still absorbing it, but I just read it, thought I would pass it along, thought it was surprising, helpful. So there you go. If you have any input on it, you can share your own experience. I have to say, in what I read about the temperaments, I felt it was really accurate. It was really helpful. But I think, like anything, prudence is the key. To have prudence and temperance. And feedback at goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out if you want to chime in. Okay, next up, nothing controversial about this. It's a recipe. You ready for a muffin recipe?
Sure.
You could you just real quickly opine on your love for muffins, because you are the Muffin Mama. Oh, maybe that's your name. Muffin Mama. Because you formed the Muffin Club because you love muffins so much. And it was a Bible study that,
yes.
How many years going strong now?
Well, it was in Wisconsin, so I'm assuming that it's still going strong. But we met in the morning, and it just was like, well, we had to have a name. And I suggested Muffin Club, and everybody loved it. And so then we'd tell people, well, the Muffin Club is meeting that day. That's what we're doing.
And that sounds fun, because it's not, what's nice about that is it's not intimidating. Muffins are a perfect way to sneak in things. Like, you've added flaxseed or chia seed to muffins over the years. Do you have a favorite muffin recipe?
It is. It's one that I cut out of the newspaper when we lived in the Sandusky area. And it is maybe about 5 different spices. And you can add raisins and nuts if you want.
Okay. I think you're going to like this one then. This one is 3 ingredients, and it's a pumpkin muffin mix. Here's how it works, though. It's 1 box of a spice cake mix. You can also use a chocolate cake mix if you want chocolate pumpkin muffins. Okay. So for the purpose of this recipe, though, it's 1 box of spice cake mix, any brand you like, and then 1 can of pumpkin puree, a 15-ounce can, 1 teaspoon of pumpkin pie spice. And even if you don't have the pumpkin pie spice, you can make it by using just cinnamon or allspice, ground nutmeg, add that together. So that's it. The cake mix, the pumpkin spice, and the pumpkin puree, those 3 ingredients. And you put that in the bowl together, 350, regular size muffin tins. You can make a loaf as well, but it's 350. Bake that for 18 to 20 minutes. And you are, I mean, the whole kitchen smells good. You are the Muffin Mama, and you weren't in the kitchen that long. And since Vivian is here, and I thought it would be nice. I don't know if we're going to do this, Vivian, but I thought it would be nice to do like Chinese lessons once every often, because Chinese is such a widely spoken language, and we don't in America speak it. You're like, I've heard you try to speak it. So how do you say, we're talking about this muffin recipe. Do they have muffins in China?
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of muffins do you make?
Some chocolate muffin.
Okay. So how do you say that's delicious muffins?
这是很好吃的马芬.
Oh, come on! Say it slower. Can you try it slower?
这是很好吃的马芬.
正说好吃的马芬. Is that not right? Oh, she's writing it. Okay, this is the homeschool desk that I'm using. It's not working. 这, okay. 这是, she or 是?
是.
是.
You need to try it!
I can't. I know I can't.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Then that's it then. Your brain, you have to continue to try, or your brain loses.
The boys
loses.
Get it.
Okay, say it with me one time. You need to say it together. Come on.
这是很好吃的马芬。
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, I wrote it, thank you. I'm going to put that in the show notes so other people can learn. So if we're ever in China and we have muffins, that we can say these are delicious muffins.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, man. Okay, we did that together. Now we could practice. So any of the ladies going to the Arise retreat, I expect you to be able, when we have breakfast, in unison to be able to do that. Okay. Thank you so much to Vivian. That was wonderful. Thank you for your good sportsmanship there, Mom, for trying.
Yes.
You want to try it again?
No.
Okay.
I have to practice on my own in the closet.
In the closet? That's half the fun, though. Because if you're sitting at church and someone's going, and they come up behind you and they hear, and they say, wow, you might be able to impress.
I don't think that would be. Maybe with the donuts.
Yes. All right. So next, we want to talk about the Patriotic Rosary. This is something close to your heart. And we are less than 2 months from Election Day now. So I think it's an obvious statement that we really need prayer. We always need prayer. But we are in a state of unrest in our nation. I think we feel the tension from what's happening in just the area of the police shootings and the protests recently that have happened, let alone the terrible drug problems that we're having and the terrorist attacks that are now within our borders more than they ever have before. These random acts of violence, it seems. And so it just seems like a time of strain anyway as a nation, like something's bubbling. And it made me think of the book of Romans. It says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." And that's what I feel like is happening. And add on to it, we've got the instability of what's going to happen in the next 2 months with this election and the fear. Because honestly, if Donald Trump does win, will there be protests? Will there be a time of continued unrest where people are upset and rioting? Or will people just accept it and move on? If Hillary Clinton gets in, what's that going to be like? Will that be come with controversy? I mean, she's in so many legal problems right now. We don't know how things are all going to unfold. But what we do know is that God is in control. And that's the story of humanity. Nothing is new in our stiff-necked people that we are. The cycle of peace, frustration, unrest, revolution, starting all over again. And that's something that you've seen as you silently but powerfully have prayed for over a decade with the Patriotic Rosary. So explain to the listeners what it is and why it's so important to you.
It's comprehensive in that each of the 50 states is mentioned by name. They're in alphabetical order, broken down into the five decades. And within the prayer, it says that we cover that state, and you name the state, and every soul in that state with the blood of Jesus. And I don't think there's a more powerful prayer that covers everyone of any race, color, or creed that make up our United States of America. It's also for each decade, then it's broken down according to the presidency, and then the Supreme Court, the Congress and House of Representatives, the governors, and then the local governments. And then we've added something that has been stapled into the last page of the book, and that is a prayer for our military, because that is such an important part. And I myself feel that as a country, and I'm sure that there are some areas that have been very dedicated to praying for the military, not only the ones that are in harm's way, but also the families at home. They need our prayer support. So that is a prayer that we've added.
It's interesting then, you talked about every state. So there's five mysteries, 10 decades. That's 50. Just happens to be that way. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
So it works out without any effort.
Any contrivance. I believe the Holy Spirit directed the prayer so that it can be comprehensive. And it gives what I find, because everyone, not everyone, but you hear many people in a sense of anxiety or despair or frustration. They're really more ill at ease about this particular election. And we know from the conversation of Jesus and Pilate, that he said, "You would not have any authority had it not been given by my Father above, by God above." So that in the essence, we walk out of church knowing we haven't stood in any protest, any lines, but we have gone to the forefront and we have been on our knees just crying out to God.
And the interesting thing is, there is untold power, I believe, in that. And I think of you week after week, very few hardy souls over these 10 years that have remained faithful to this. But the power, I'm sure, that you have to keep our country afloat and the soul of our country intact. So to me, you are a hero for that. And I also love, there's a couple things you pointed out there. We're currently studying the book of Sirach, an amazing Bible study. I've talked about it on Good Things Radio. It started here on the podcast through one of our listeners. Now, many women across the country joining in. And if you want to, if you're listening, you can be a part of it. It's on Voxer, actually. Just find me on Voxer or also feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Shoot me an email. But this theme has been the last few days discussed in the book of Sirach because it talks about foolhardy men and people who are arrogant. And you can't help but read these things and think of our politicians and the current state of our government that really, in some ways, feel that the people owe them as opposed to them being public servants and humbling themselves before the people that have elected them in. The other thing is the meditations on this patriotic rosary. They are from leaders, from Lincoln. And one of the surprises to me was Robert E. Lee. I guess I'd only heard one side, thinking he was a one-dimensional character. He had amazing, tremendous faith.
Yes, that is my favorite. And I think usually on a weekly basis, I'm the one who's privileged to read that particular thoughts and quotes of his. It's powerful, and it says there should be prayer at sunup, at midday, and at midnight. It's like, yes, why aren't we praying at midnight? We need it. And I would encourage everyone to do a vigil the night before the election. Our church is going to be doing it at 6:30.
Well, it's one thing for us to talk about it, but I think it would be neat to actually read one of those meditations. So we have the Robert E. Lee meditation. I have my favorite Robert E. Lee twin, not really, but my Southern man, because you have a Southern accent, although you've lost it, except when you're around Southern friends and it magically comes back. But
I didn't lose it. I had to adapt it for the Yankee town.
With the Yankee. You know, I remember when I met your family, they called me a Yankee. I thought, what? Who says that? Who says Yankee?
Above the Mason-Dixon line.
So please, read this if you would, because you have a good booming voice. By the way, this is Jim, my husband. I'm sorry I didn't properly introduce you other than Robert E. Lee, but Jim, for this purpose, you're going to go into character. But this is the actual prayer. I'm going to turn the mic around. This is the actual prayer of Robert E. Lee that is in the Patriotic Rosary.
Soldiers, let us humble ourselves before the Lord, our God, asking through Christ the forgiveness of our sins, beseeching the aid of the God of our forefathers in the defense of our homes and our liberties, thanking Him for His past blessings, and imploring their continuance upon our cause and our people. I pleadingly urge our people everywhere to pray, believing that prayer is the greatest contribution that our people can make in this critical hour. I humbly urge that we take the time to pray, to really pray. Let there be prayer at sunup, at noonday, at sundown, at midnight, all through the day. Let us pray for our children, our youth, our aged, our pastors, our homes. Let us pray for the churches. Let us pray for ourselves that we may not lose the word concern out of our Christian vocabulary. Let us pray for our nation. Let us pray for those who have never known Jesus Christ and His redeeming love, for moral forces everywhere, for our national leaders. Let prayer be our passion. Let prayer be our practice. General Robert E. Lee, 1863.
One thing I learned about him is that he was against slavery. So I think it's interesting when you study, again, just he was more than one-dimensional, and what a beautiful faith life he had. Thank you for reading that.
You're welcome.
Okay, so there you go. Pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is I think asking the intercession for our founding fathers, and also St. Maximilian Kolbe, someone who understood religious liberty, St. Thomas More, St. Thomas Becket, and John Paul II, St. John Paul II. There are so many saints that we can look at, that St. Joan of Arc, that fought for freedom and liberty and know the power of prayer for a nation and its necessity.
Right.
Okay, Mom, I know you're off to make some muffins.
Banana is next.
Okay, good.
All right.
Thank you. God bless you. And we'll just Muffin Mama. We'll make that your name, and
Okay. You'll
be on the show periodically. I'm going to talk about the retreat. I hope that you're going to be at the retreat. You may be designated babysitter.
Hi,
I don't know.
My name is Brooke.
That's Gus.
Thanks.
Hi, my name is Brooke. I love you guys.
Oh, I love you.
Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise, shine, the glory of the Lord is risen.
So before we wrap up the show, I just have a few housekeeping things to update you about. First, the Arise tickets. I want to mention that important. They go on sale only and exclusively for you, our Good Things Radio family, on Wednesday, October 5th. It's the Feast of St. Faustina, approximately 3 o'clock p.m. That is the Hour of Mercy. And by the way, thank you to Jenny, who graciously pointed out that I mistakenly said October 5th was a Thursday, and it's not. It's a Wednesday. I am the world's worst when it comes to dates and details. Yet you love me anyway. You forgive me. So thank you for your grace on that. But yes, it is Wednesday, the 5th of October, 3 p.m. And much to tell you about. If you went to the Arise retreat, if you haven't already received it, check your inbox. But if you went to the first one, we're sending out a kind of first round email to those past attendees. And then we'll share some more details only and just to our listeners as the date gets closer. But I at least want to tell you that and invite you to come. Think about bringing a friend. It's so limited, and I think there's always pros and cons to a smaller group like that. We really got close-knit. It was really a blessing to be able to just kind of be in a smaller retreat house and soak up conversation and just kind of be in a real getaway. But it would be nice to open it up to a couple hundred more, because we've gotten so many emails and inquiries and people asking about it, but we entrusted all to the Holy Spirit. We're already praying. This team of Arise sisters already praying for those who are feeling called to come, who are feeling tugged to come, and also the financial aspect of it as well. So we'll keep you posted on that, but there you go. That's the info. And finally, the Holy Land. I've been working since August, the end of August, I would say, since we got back from our Southern Italy pilgrimage with a tour company. And we do have a time frame narrowed down, so I want to tell you that. And then I want to tell you a little bit about the itinerary. It's going to be November of 2017 that we will embark on a trip to the Holy Land, looking at the first part of November, the very early part of November. And there's a couple reasons for that. I mentioned in the last podcast, the crowds are down, the prices are down, and the temperature is down a little bit. One of the most fertile, beautiful times of the year to go, though, especially as we will then enter into Advent and then the season of Lent. And to be able to go to a place where we visited the site of the Nativity in Bethlehem, but then also went to the place of Golgotha and the crucifixion, those are going to be powerful tools as we walk into these liturgical seasons. So that's one thing. I want to, though, at least give you some highlights of the itinerary. If you're feeling called to this trip, we are going to visit Galilee, Mount Tabor, where Jesus met Moses and Elijah at the Transfiguration. We're going to Cana in Galilee. And couples will actually have a chance to renew their wedding vows in Cana at the site of the first miracle of Jesus. So that just blows my mind. Nazareth, we're going to visit the grotto where the incarnation began. The Sea of Galilee, we will walk the banks of the Sea of Galilee and take a boat ride to Capernaum, Mass at the house of St. Peter. We'll see the Jordan River, have an opportunity to renew our baptismal vows there at the Jordan River. We'll see the Church of the Nativity. We'll visit the cave where Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, was born. We'll attend Mass at the Tomb of Christ in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And then kind of looking over additional highlights here, we're going to see the Western Wall, the Pools of Bethesda, where Jesus healed the lame man. We'll drive to the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll see Zacchaeus' tree. We will walk the Via Dolorosa, the Way of Sorrow, and actually, literally, the Stations of the Cross, ending at the Holy Sepulchre. And again, those are just the highlights. It's really extraordinary when you think of the fullness of this trip and how it really will be a life-changing, life-transformative experience. So prices, dates, all of that is yet to come. I at least want to give you the details, and we'll see where the next year takes us. Thank you for being a part of this episode of Good Things Radio. That was a big one. We covered the personality assessment. We've got the patriotic rosary in there, and we even got some pumpkin muffins. And we learned how to say these are delicious muffins in Chinese. Say it with me. Do you remember? Zhe Shi Hen Hao Qi De Muffin. I don't think that was right. I got to work on that a little bit. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our Podbean patrons. Do you like the show? Could you spread the word? Could you tell a friend? Download the app on Podbean. You can become a good friend of the show by being a Podbean patron. All you need to do is donate, whether that's a dollar a program, 20 bucks a month. We're so grateful for your donations because it allows us to continue doing what we do. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire, wears many hats. Homes. So to find out more, reach him at cominghomestudio.com. Next time on the show, we're going to talk a little bit about favorite programming. We're getting into autumn and fall. That means it's getting darker earlier. We're watching more TV. What's your favorite show? Are you into a series right now? I just was corresponding with Mark, my producer, and he was telling me he just watched the last episode of the last season of Downton Abbey, and it's sad. My husband and I still aren't over it, and we haven't really gotten into another series. It's hard if you're a fan of shows like that to find something that can kind of get to that level when it's in that place in your heart, but we're trying. So what do you like? What do you watch? Let us know what it is. Feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Until next time, friends, enjoy the change of seasons as we give God our midnight, our midday, and our morning in prayer. God bless you.